727-804-6082. Free Mass, the Brian Cash Clause Coupon Book.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Now this could only happen to a guy like me, and only happen in a town like this. So may I say to each of you most gratefully, as I throw each one of you a kiss, this is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of people too. People who smile at you. Chicago is calling me home. Chicago is why I just grin like a clown. It's my kind of town.
Oh yeah, Frankie baby, talking about Chicago. Well, right now I don't know if Chicago's his kind of town. It's they're rioting in Chicago on the Magnificent Mile, my old hometown. I'm very, very distraught about it. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We are not broadcasting from Chicago. However, tomorrow morning we will be broadcasting from the North Pinellas County Republican headquarters. And I hope you will be listening to us at that time. In the meantime, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us today, Monday, August the 10th. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Rick Berman. He is the president of Berman and Company and manager of the website China Owns Us. So we'll talk with him a little bit about dealing with China here in the United States. And as we mentioned, the Windy City rocked by rioting last night along the Magnificent Mile. What happened? What happened and why? So we're gonna discuss it. And by the way, did Donald Trump really inquire about adding his visage to Mount Rushmore? Can you imagine? Do they have any room? We're going to get to the bottom of it. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, Big Ed's favorite movies are musicals. So, in homage to him, we're going to give you the top 10 greatest movie musicals. I think his favorite is Sound of Music because he's madly in love with Julie Andrews. But don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. All right. We got a lot going on today. And what's going on in the Windy City? I'm beginning to worry about it. You know, they've had their videos now circulating show widespread looting and clashes along the Magnificent Mile. Now, that's Michigan Avenue. It's right along Lake Michigan. It's beautiful. It's got all these very fancy stores. It has the oldest... You know, there was a Chicago fire in the early 1800s. The only thing that was left was the water tower. It is standing there on the Magnificent Mile. Anyway, police involved shootings. Apparently, a young guy was wounded earlier, and that sparked the violence. The police and this young man were involved in some sort of an altercation. The guy was not killed. He was not killed. He was wounded. So the Chicago superintendent of police, David Brown, and Mayor Lori Light in the Loafers Lightfoot, expected to speak about the unrest during a news conference later today. Actually, they may have already had it. I don't know. When I looked up this story, it was before 9 o'clock, so they may have had it. But We don't want to see that. We want to see this stuff end. And there's a green light all over the country in major cities right now, a green light that people are taking advantage of. By the way, even in Chicago, they broke windows. You know, they broke into the stores through the windows and the whole bit, started stealing stuff, of course. Did you know that they were actually transported? People were transported down there, dropped off. Did you know that? That doesn't sound very good. That doesn't sound very good. We got to get a grip on all of this. We've got to get a grip. And here's the old saying, you give them an inch and they'll take a mile. And that's what's going on here. If you allow this stuff to continue, if you allow these wild altercations to continue, they will only get worse. Nothing stays the same. And I guess the excuse I heard was that there wasn't enough police in that area to quell all of the things that were going on with this. Okay, then send more. Do whatever you have to do. It does not make the city look good. It does not make the mayor look good. It does not make the country look good. Very, very sad. The Senate Homeland Security Committee today, subpoenaed the FBI director, Chris Wray, as part of a review into the whole Russia thing, the whole Russia investigation, and the connection to Donald Trump. Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, a Republican, has issued Wray a subpoena. It demands that Wray produce all records related to Crossfire Hurricane. You remember that was the involvement of the FBI in the Trump administration when Trump was being elected and after the election. It says this subpoena includes all records provided to the Inspector General for its review. So what I think they want to do is they want to get the goods, perhaps, on some of the people still in the government that might have been involved in this whole little enterprise. Now, remember, we have the John Durham supposedly wrapping things up. I've heard that a million times. In an investigation of Crossfire Hurricane and everything that the FBI was doing, that would include the ability to indict people no longer in the government. So even if they're out, they could be subject to trouble. Well, we'll see where all of this thing goes. It's interesting that this is still going on. Before the election, all of this is still going on. Now, Christopher Wray was brought in, supposedly, after James Comey was let go, to quell things, to make things better. But you got to remember that Christopher Wray is kind of an insider, too. And perhaps they needed to get somebody that was totally uninvolved with the FBI to have come in and taken that thing over. I get the impression that Wray is in some way protective of the FBI to the point that he might cross that little line and protect people that should not be protected. Anyway, let us take our break. When we come back, Rick Berman, who manages a website called China Owns Us, as well as being head of his own company, is going to talk to us about confronting the Communist Party of China in America. Why I feel blue without Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, Kelly. I love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. 3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Monday. Freedom Works, delighted to have you with us. Thank you so very much. And we're also delighted to have Rick Berman join us. Rick is president of Berman & Company in Washington, and he manages a website called China Owns Us. ChinaOwnsUs.com, actually. Rick, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you so much, Paul.
You have written a piece for the Washington Times a couple of weeks ago, confronting the Chinese Communist Party in the United States. And right now, with everything going on with China, including the closure of that Chinese consulate, I guess, in Houston, not terribly long ago, there's the question of, and then TikTok and everything else, the question of Chinese infiltration. Tell us a little bit about what is going on with the Communist Party and the possibilities that they might be making inroads here into our own country.
Well, firstly, if we were really going to do a good review of all this, we'd have to talk about how they're infiltrating in terms of our medical supplies, our food supplies, what's happening in our universities, what's happening with them taking on so much of our technology, either overtly or we're stealing it covertly, and media as well, how they're affecting our media. It is an enormous octopus of influence that the Chinese Party, the Chinese Communist Party, has been able to execute in the United States, because we have such an open society. But I'll give you a couple of indications as to what I'm talking about here. For starters, if a United States company wanted to go to China and buy one of their larger industries or one of their larger companies, it would be totally prohibited, because the Chinese government is the same thing as the Chinese Communist Party. And the Chinese Communist Party has an agenda which is all about world domination. That may sound a little over the top, but they say that in their own very obvious statements about the future for China.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to buy one of these companies, you'd be banned. By the same token, if you wanted to do something like Radio Free Europe and beam stuff into China, you would be banned. The reverse is not true. The Chinese presently own 2,400 companies in the United States. This is not a group of companies that are in the hardware business. It's not they're not buying up chains of dry cleaners. They're buying up companies where they can literally steal the technology from those companies.
Mm-hmm.
Or, for example, they bought up AMC theaters. Now, you would ask yourself, why would a Chinese government, because again, the party and the government are the same, why would they be willing to fund the purchase of AMC movie theaters? And then when you understand what this is about, you understand that they are going to control any negative Chinese movies, or I should say any scenes or any scripts that are negative about China. They will not be shown in an AMC theater. AMC owns more movie theater screens than any other movie theater chain in the United States. By doing that, they literally can make a movie that is being produced commercially non-viable if there's going to be negative Chinese messages in there. And what is negative to China is very subtle. The stories about how they've influenced movie scripts or scenes goes into great detail, which I'm not going to use too much of your time about, but you know, people can go to the ChinaOwnsUs.com website and see, you know, how they've influenced the writing of scripts.
Wow.
It gets very granular. It gets down into real detail. If you want to talk about how they own us, they own our medical supply. 97% of all the antibiotics in the United States are produced in China.
Wow. Wow.
That's a significant chokehold.
You know, I was just reading an article in the Washington Post online, and it talked about a couple that was going to one of the provinces in China, which whose name I don't recall. But it talked rather glowingly about how they felt about the Communist Party. And I was reading it in the Washington Post. And I thought, you know, they're kind of treating what we used to, you know, all of us used to say was a horrible dictatorship. They're starting to be treated in some circles, I think, in the media, as not so bad. And coming from the Washington Post, the way they wrote it, it wasn't like a direct blessing of the Communist Party. It was a nuanced thing, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Listen, you know, it's no longer a backwards company, country. They do have a lot that on the surface would be impressive. I mean, Wuhan, remember we talked about how this virus came out of Wuhan, and people were talking that it came out of some market in Wuhan where they were selling bats and they were selling uncooked meat, and you get this impression of a backwards small little village where a virus somehow leaked out. Go on the internet and just look at for pictures of Wuhan, and you will see pictures of a city that doesn't look like anything in the United States. It looks very sci-fi advanced. Wuhan has over 8 million people in it,
yeah.
Which is, you know, equivalent to New York City.
It really is, yeah.
You know, China looks very different on the surface to a lot of people. And, you know, some people could get their impressions from some very superficial observations. At the end of the day, it's a dangerous crowd.
Yeah. We're talking with Rick Berman. He's president of Berman & Company. He's also the manager, the overseer of ChinaOwnsUs.com. Talks a little bit about how we should deal with the Chinese Communist Party and the way their infiltrations are occurring, not just around the world, but here in the United States. Rick, the current head of China, President Xi, and Mao Zedong. Mao Zedong, of course, founded the Communist Party back in the 40s and set things up. And they were always kind of a closed society. They were kind of like secondary to Russia on a scale of concern, right? Well, now, yep. It seems to me clearly, and especially with the virus, the way they treated the virus, the whole thing, it seems clearly that China is a country to be worried about for its treachery. Your thought?
Well, it's absolutely true in terms of treachery. But I would say in terms of treachery, they could be on the same scale, stuff that you don't see as Russia. But our problem is that we have allowed our entire industrial base to be integrated into the Chinese base. There is too much that we are reliant on China for, as opposed to Russia. And that really becomes the problem. We are no longer as independent as you would like to believe. And here's another example. China is very intent on seeing to it that the American public views China in a very positive light. You spoke about these people who wrote what they did in the Washington Post. Last year, China spent $30 million on public relations firms and lobbying firms in Washington. $30 million. China is doing something that Russia is not doing.
Mm-hmm.
And China is prevented by a law in the United States from owning radio stations. This is not the same. Russia doesn't do this, but Russia does something similar, but in a very small scale. So they're not allowed to buy radio stations. But what they are allowed to do is to lease radio stations, and they can lease all the time off of a radio station if they want to pay enough money to the station. Like,
can they?
Well, they've got 30 radio stations that they are beaming information into major cities in the United States, and you don't necessarily know that the content is coming out of China.
Right.
And so they put their own spin on the news. You know, you'll never hear about those islands that are being manufactured in the South China Sea and then being weaponized by the Chinese. You'll never hear about that on those radio stations. You'll hear a spin on that. This is why, for me, it's a very insidious power that they are finding all sorts of ways. They have funded university programs in the United States. They have something called the Confucius Institutes. They're in about 80 universities. And so these are little propaganda cells inside of American universities.
Yeah, we had a couple.
Their way in.
We had some Chinese people kicked out of a couple of our hospitals here in Florida because there was concern about their stealing research info.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
So it's very. I think there is. You're right. I think there's something pervasive. There's something going on. There may be a method to their madness. Now, Rick Berman, they apparently, if you believe what you hear, they do not like Donald Trump. They are rooting for Joe Biden, as opposed to what you hear about Russia rooting for Donald Trump. If any of that is true, I don't know. It would seem to me that they don't care that much for Biden either. But do you know, is there any truth to that with China and Trump, do you think?
Well, you know, at this point in time, they probably see Trump as being unreliable. You know, at one point he was trying to...
He's not a useful idiot. He's not a useful idiot. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, trying to figure out the future as to, you know, if you're on the Chinese side, you know, whether or not Trump is going to be better or worse for you than Biden, I don't know. That's a fool's game. I know one thing. The American public needs to wake up and needs to understand what's happening here. And whether Trump is in office or Biden's in office, there needs to be enough of an outrage among the American public that neither one of them can make deals with the Chinese or look the other way when the Chinese are becoming as invasive as they are. Whoever is president needs to take a much firmer line. And we need to pull back from a lot of the relationships that are negative for the United States, including all of the relationships where they have, as I said earlier, a chokehold on so much of what is important to us.
You know, there is world outrage because of the pandemic. I don't know that China's been disliked more than, I don't know if China's ever been disliked more at any other time than they are right now. The world is upset with what happened. A lot of people believe that it was intentional, but and then they're mounting, you know, they're mounting that stifling of Hong Kong. They're casting eyes again at Taiwan. They're building these islands in the South China Sea. They're infiltrating, you know, things here in the United States. You would think that people would rise up, but I don't think the media, in general, is sounding the alarm. Your thought?
You know, if you look at public relations in a larger sense, something I've learned over time is that it's very difficult to get people upset about something unless there are short-term personal consequences. That's why nobody cares about the debt. You know, you tell people the debt is $12 trillion or $28 trillion, whatever the number is. Nobody pays any attention to it because they don't think it's ever going to bother them, and certainly not in the short term. And so things like the South China Sea or people being put in concentration camps in China, these are things that people will find intellectually intellectually bothersome, but they don't get real upset over it because it doesn't hit them at an emotional level. It's not them. And I think that's one of our big problems. We have to have people understanding how some of this is going to affect them. When I tell you that some of the medicines that you're taking may not have the same integrity that you expect that they would have, that there may not be as much medicine in that pill as there's supposed to be, now all of a sudden that becomes very personal right to you. And I think that's what people need to understand. They need to understand that when they're listening to radio or they're seeing movies, that somehow the Chinese have affected the content. That becomes personal. And that, you know, that's what we're missing. You know, in 2016, there were 500,000 cases of adulterated food coming out of China that we imported. Now, when you think about that, wow, you start to worry about what I'm putting in my mouth.
Yeah.
And yeah, people don't understand it. Again, they don't understand how integrated we are.
Well, Rick Berman, I think very interesting conversation, and I think you made some excellent points about being wary of China. I hope you would think by now that we would start to open up our eyes, especially in the midst of this virus. Rick, thank you so very much for coming on and talking to us.
Great to be with you.
All right, sir. Rick Berman. And by the way, let's give him a plug on that website. He oversees the website ChinaOwnsUs.com. Rick Berman. Okay, going to take our break. When we come back, did Donald Trump really look into whether or not they could get his face on Mount Rushmore? What? We'll talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Thank you so very much for joining us here on Freedom Works. We are here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. And tomorrow, we're delighted that we are going to be at the North Pinellas County Republican headquarters. And really looking forward to interviewing some of the people that are running in the Republican primary. And we're delighted to have one of the people that's going to be joining us there, I believe, the master barber himself, Andrew. And Andrew, are you going to take some time off from haircutting to come over and be with us tomorrow morning?
Well, I wouldn't miss this. I wouldn't miss it for the world. You know that.
Excellent. You're going to bring your haircutting tools? You might be able to give some of these politicians, you know, a little nip and tuck.
We'll make America look beautiful. Huh?
There, exactly.
You know, Paul, I was listening to the show, the gentleman you just had on, and I got to say one thing, because he said, well, be it Biden or Trump, whoever gets elected needs to take these harsh stands on China. Well, we already know that Biden loves China. Okay.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Look at how Trump is handling China already,
Wait a second. Now you don't mean just Joe. You mean Joe and Hunter love China.
That's what. Oh yeah, they love China.
All right.
And look at how Trump has been handling China already.
He really turned on his quote good friend President Xi a little bit, didn't he?
Well, President Xi turned on him.
Yeah.
I would say President Xi flipped the coin first, and you know what?
Yeah.
Donald Trump has got the backbone to stand up to China. For Joe Biden, he's still in the closet hiding. You know, I mean, come on, we got to get over this.
I am waiting for him. I mean, really now. We joked about it, and he'll say things, you know, and we laugh. I'm really concerned there is some, whatever you want to call it, cognitive or whatever, probably based a little bit on his age, or some little thing, because I don't think if you listen to him long enough, he starts losing sensibility.
Well, the only test I know Joe Biden is doing excellent on is the dementia test right now. I mean, the guy's passing with flying colors, let's be real.
Okay. Now, I got to ask you this. We're going to turn the subject a little bit, but I was going to bring it up anyway. We got two things going on in the great state of South Dakota. Number one, about 250,000 bikers in a town called Sturgis. And there's all this talk about, and you know what? If they were voting, Trump would win about 90% of the vote, I think, from those bikers. That's the impression I get.
I would say 99.9%.
Yeah, that is correct. Now, the second thing going on is over in Rapid City, South Dakota, where there is talk about finding a spot along Mount Rushmore for the visage of Donald Trump. Have you heard anything about this?
Yeah, Paul, they've been talking about that a long time. He jokes about it all the time.
Well, President Trump has claimed that a recent New York Times article that said he had inquired about having his face added to Mount Rushmore was, quote, fake news.
Well, the New York Times, come on.
The New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, NBC,
it's all the same baloney. I know that.
They need to put him right between George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. I think that would be a wonderful trio. It says here.
Paul, you know what?
What?
Did you happen to notice Trump's speech the other night when he was sitting there and he says, you know, there's going to be a lot of things going down. He says, there's a lot of people that really don't like me right now, so this might be, I might not be seeing you in public for a while here.
Oh, boy. No, I don't remember him saying that. Go ahead.
Yeah, he did say that. And I think you're going to see things going down with this Durham investigation. I told you we were going to wait till just before the election, if you remember correctly, and I think this is going to go down.
So you think when you say go down, you mean the Durham investigation?
They're going to bring it out.
Bring it out.
They're
going to
bring it all out.
Okay.
The Democrats are very, very afraid of it, and they should be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're going to see, and what he meant was this stuff that's going down is very, very heavy. You're going to see about this, the child, what do they call it, where the kids are all disappearing, child trafficking. I think you're going to hear about the Russiagate, Obamagate, whatever they call it. I think this is all going down, and there's a lot of very, very powerful people. I mean, there's been 33 assassination attempts, I guess, already against this man. I don't know if you know that or not.
About against Durham?
No, against Donald Trump.
Against Donald Trump. Well, there's always nuts.
There's always
that are out there.
Okay?
Absolutely,
so,
yes.
From what I understand, they might be keeping him in the air for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, so you think there's actually...
So this is telling me something is going to be going down. Maybe I'm reading into it too deep, but when Trump's going to go in hiding, there's a good reason for it.
Well, maybe let's... I just wanted to get back, if I might, for a moment to this Mount Rushmore thing, because Trump actually responded to this. He said the report was fake news. He said, this is fake news by the failing New York Times and bad rating CNN. He said, never suggested it. Although, based on all of the many things accomplished during the first 3.5 years, perhaps more than any other presidency, sounds like a good idea to me. So he would.
Sounds like something I would say if I was in his position. So, God bless him.
He doesn't mind.
God bless him. I say the same thing.
He doesn't mind. He would kind of like that. Maybe it's a kind of a lasting tribute to himself. Now, that is just going to drive every Democrat wild, you know, just saying something.
Oh, he drove every Democrat wild this weekend when he signed an executive order for this $400 a week, okay? You can't do that. It's unconstitutional. Schumer, Pelosi, they're going to sue him. Let me tell you, they ought to put those two in a hot air balloon, let it go up 3,000 feet and shoot the balloon. That's what they need to do with those two.
Can you sell tickets? I think that would be a good one. And maybe we could do it over Rapid City so that they would land on Mount Rushmore. That would be also interesting.
And you know what, Paul?
What?
I'm still going with the terms that I think California is going to turn blue.
Red. You think they're going to turn red. They are blue.
They're turning red. My mistake.
That's
they
all right.
Turn red.
I don't know why
I think it's going to happen, Paul. People are coming out of the closets there. And you notice with all this, the children being taken and this and that, you don't hear Hollywood saying anything about this, do you?
No, and I'm wondering about this. Did you read something somewhere that there's these young kids are being taken and groomed for sexual things, or what do you mean?
No, sexual things, and you know they're saying that they're actually taking adrenaline from these young kids.
Oh, what are you reading?
Making up these shots, and a lot of the Hollywood people are taking this stuff.
Oh, look at that! Wow, now this is really going over the edge. I haven't heard anything about this.
Oh yeah, and you notice Oprah has gotten, she took her magazine off and her program off the air. Ellen DeGeneres, well, they're investigating her show. All these people were at this island, and they weren't there for sexual things, I don't believe. But I think they were definitely there for the Fountain of Youth that they were claiming that they've got.
Oh, now we got a Fountain of Youth on the island,
well,
too?
Well, they have it. And this is what they're saying is they're taking adrenaline from these kids. This is rumors I'm hearing, articles I'm reading.
I
mean, it could be hearsay, but
I don't know.
I believe it with these Hollywood freaks.
Well, now, can I ask you one thing? Will you do me a favor?
What do you want?
When I see it tomorrow, can you give me some of the medication you're taking? I would like to experience that visual also, just for a few moments.
Well, the medication I'm taking is Deep Eddie's vodka. Now, I took mine yesterday, and it got me going pretty. It got me through the heat of the day, to be honest with you. But, this is, Paul, there's a lot of serious things going on over here. A lot of things are going to be uncovered, and Trump is doing it, man.
Yeah.
There's a question.
Well, what do you think about his coming out and saying, look, I've waited long enough for Congress to take action on a new round of stimulus money. Therefore, I am now going to do it. And he laid
I love
he,
it.
He laid
let me
a
tell you,
that
go got ahead. Him reelected right there, buddy.
I'm wondering if it's not in its own way, and I'm not saying this negatively, although it'll sound like it, in its own way, kind of Machiavellian, because here's what he's done. He's offering this out. He's saying, look, no one in Congress is doing it, so I'm going to do it because the people need it. That immediately puts him on the side of the people that want the money, right? Because Congress won't do it, but I'll do it, right? So now they take it to the courts, the Democrats. They say, this is unconstitutional. He can't do that. Now it makes the Democrats look like they're trying to stop the money. What do you think? In other words, he can't lose either way.
That's right. He's in a win-win situation, Paul. He's going to look good no matter what. Okay, there are the people out there that want to sit on the rear ends and get this money, but there are the people that really need it, Paul.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, so both people are going to love him.
They are, but you know, it's probably going to end up being unconstitutional only because he cannot direct money that hasn't been created. That's the only power, the power of the purse is in the House of Representatives. But it'll be interesting because it will make him look good, one way or the other.
Oh, there's no question about it. It's going to make the Democrats. How much worse can you make the Democrats really look today?
Yeah.
How much worse can you make them look? Look at the violence going on. They're all letting it happen, Paul.
Yeah.
And I love Trump for sitting there telling New York, oh, you want $7.4 billion to bail you out? you better put your people to work.
Now the governor of New York is begging people to stay. Have you got that? Don't leave us. Don't leave us. Yeah. We need your money, especially your rich people.
He's reminded me of the husband that treated the wife like crap all these years, and all of a sudden she decides she's going to leave, and now he's begging her to stay.
That's
right.
Exactly. Beautiful. That's exactly what it is.
You know,
now they're begging them to stay, and they're saying no. Don't think so, you know, and they are, indeed. They've been losing a lot of important people.
You know, Paul, I got money that says that de Blasio and Cuomo don't get reelected.
De Blasio may be the most disliked mayor of all time. He's certainly up there.
And you know, I'm still pushing this one, Paul, and people tell me I'm crazy, but I don't really care. But you know how they're putting they're putting off Biden's VP candidate. Biden's VP, we don't know who we're going to pick. I'm telling you who it's going to be.
Who?
You're going to see Hillary Clinton.
Let me make a note.
It's going to be the big surprise, Paul.
Ed, make a note. He thinks Hillary's going to be the vice president.
That's right.
Ed's in there with a smile on his face. I don't know if he's agreeing with you or if he's just thinking,
watch and see. Because they're going to think that they got nobody else that's going to pull any votes. You think Kamala Harris, Susan Rice? Who the hell is Susan Rice? Nobody knows her. They think it's Uncle Ben's Rice's cousin. Not good. She's not going anywhere. Okay?
The granddaughter of Uncle Ben.
Between Biden and Hillary, they think they're going to be able to pull enough votes to take Trump out. Biden will be in office for 2 weeks after he gets inaugurated. She'll either have him killed or they're just going to use the 25th on him and say he can't do it.
I never thought of that. That's it. They knock him off. Yeah, a couple months into his presidency.
It won't even last a couple months, Paul.
They'll poison
him. But I'm telling you, see how quiet it's been and how long they're putting it off. Now, she's supposed to go to court on September the 9th, right? You're not hearing nothing about that, but Hillary's supposed to reappear in court.
Hillary? Okay. Is she?
Yeah, but...
For what?
Yeah, definitely. September the 9th.
What's the court?
I'm betting, Paul. I am betting, because they're letting it go so long, the big surprise is going to be Hillary Clinton coming out with her moo-moo on, believe me.
Let me tell you something. There couldn't be a single person that would be less helpful to Joe Biden than Hillary Clinton as his running mate. You honestly believe that, right? You honestly believe that?
Paul, you know what?
You honestly believe that?
The Democrats love Hillary.
Ed, did you hear what he's saying?
They're wishing, Paul. I have Democrats wishing he picks Hillary.
It ain't going to happen, Andrew.
We're going to see. You told me the same thing about Trump winning the election.
I know.
So we're going to see.
Okay.
I don't see it feasible, but I really think she's going to be the one.
How would it help him?
I'm telling you, the people, the morons love her.
How would it help Joe Biden?
She is going to pull votes, Hillary Clinton.
She's going to pull votes, all right. She's going to pull votes out of the Democratic Party and into the Trump campaign.
Paul, look at the popular vote she got running against Trump. Right?
Yes.
Okay. She's going to pull votes, Paul.
Okay, well, we will see.
We're going to see, but I think the big surprise, the big suspense, everybody, it's going to be this, it's going to be that, you know. I mean, we're not going to pick a woman of color just because we think the color is going to get the votes.
Well, she could become a woman of color.
No, that's true. She could become anything she wants.
Have you ever seen her? Have you ever seen her in blackface?
Yes, I have. I saw the picture of her and Will.
I think she looks darn good in blackface, and I would like to think that maybe she'll come out. That way she can appease the women, people of color, and the Democratic Party in general. I think it would be a wonderful
story. I'm telling you, you watch and see. Okay. Look, the Democrat Party's pulled a lot of different things. I think this is the one they're going to try and pull off, and they're keeping the suspense, so they're still getting people's attention. As much as we think Biden is a cahoots, okay, the Democrats are going to vote for Biden, and if Hillary gets in, then even more Democrats. You know, your middle-of-the-road Democrats might think that we're going to vote for Trump. We're going to see Hillary and say, well, you know, Hillary's middle-of-the-road with the Democrat Party. I really believe that, Paul.
Well, it's very interesting. I can say one thing, Andrew. I am looking forward to being with you tomorrow at the North
Pinellas. Oh, Paul, this is going to be a great timer. I can't wait to have all the candidates here. You know,
yes, we are.
Ron and John, they put in so much time volunteering here. These guys, it's unbelievable what they do. And we're out to get these people elected, man. We got to take our country back. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad I'm not in District 13 because that is one heck of a race that's going on with the people that are involved in the Republican Party there. And I'm glad that I'm in Gus Bilirakis' district, so I don't have to worry about voting in there, you know? Because it would be one heck of a decision.
Well, we want to also put in a plug for Good Morning Clearwater because they will be...
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to meet those two tomorrow.
Oh, they're wonderful.
I'm going to have a ball with them.
Oh,
just
Paul
do
and
me
Tracy.
A favor.
Paul
just
and Tracy.
Tell him to leave his book home for what national day it is.
Okay.
Because every day there's a national day. So tell him to leave
his
book.
You're tired
home
of the national day.
Because tomorrow is really National Grasshopper Day, but we're not going to tell him that because he'll go overboard on it, you know?
Yes.
All right.
Hey, Andrew, there was a rumor going around since we were right next to the tattoo parlor that tomorrow you're going to get a Trump tattoo.
Yeah, my forehead.
Okay.
Oh, that would be lovely.
You got it, buddy. I can't wait till tomorrow. We're going to have a good time. We're going to tear up this whole area around here with the Republicans and all my jokes. We got it.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Andrew.
All right, Paul, you take it easy, buddy.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. There he goes. All right, quick break. We'll take a short break, Ed, not a long one, because we got some things to do.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, guys. Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back and delighted to be with you. We're going to be again in Republican North Pinellas County Republican headquarters tomorrow, Ed and I, along with Paul and Tracy Allen from Good Morning Clearwater. So if you can do it, turn on your radio at 8 o'clock to Tantalk, and you're going to hear 3 hours of us interviewing Republicans that are both running for office and are involved with things going on here in Pinellas County. Also, just want to update that Chicago situation. More than 100 people have been arrested now in the rioting that has taken place in the Windy City. So we're keeping an eye on that as well.
Hey, Paul, real quickly.
Yes, sir.
We had a discussion before the show about the Dow Jones average before the pandemic.
Oh, yes.
And its lowest and highest.
Yeah, so let's set it up a little bit. Ed said that he was wondering if it hit 30,000, and I said I wasn't sure that it did. And then we were talking about how low it got. Go ahead, Ed.
So right now it's at 27 and change. The highest it ever hit was on February 12th at 29,551, which is 400 shy
wow.
of 30,000.
Very
its
close.
Lowest point was March 23rd, 18,591. So the Dow has gained almost 10,000 of it back, which
right.
they said would take years.
You're right. And it's also doing well again today.
Yeah.
So there's something going on. The stock market's usually a harbinger of things to come, or at least they like to think so. But we'll see where that goes. Okay. It is time for Ed to get over to the drums. He loves musicals, and that's why we're doing this. We've been doing movies that have been rated by the American Film Institute as the best in different genres, Ed. That's what we're doing.
I know, but I don't like them, but my all-time favorite movie is considered a musical.
Good. It may be on the list.
Okay,
all
we'll
right.
see.
All right, we'll find out. Now, these are the top 10 greatest movie musicals, and I will give Ed a hint. All of them were in the 20th century, okay? Musicals kind of died out. There are some that come back and forth. But these were all done basically in the 1900s. Okay? So here we go. Number 10. Meet Me in St. Louis with Judy Garland. Interesting movie because the guy that directed it was Vincent Minnelli, who she was marrying at that time, was going to get married to. Number 9. And this, Ed, is, in my opinion, the best musical I ever saw. Okay. Movie musical. An American in Paris.
Okay.
1951, MGM, star Gene Kelly and Leslie Caron, has the greatest single dance sequence. It went on for about 15 minutes. No words, just music and dancing in all these different sets.
Sleep 14 minutes in.
At the very end. Oh, okay. Number 8. My Fair Lady. Remember that one?
No.
No?
No.
Julie Andrews? No, I'm sorry. It wasn't Julie Andrews. She did it on Broadway. Audrey Hepburn, 1964. Number 7. A Star is Born. It's another Judy Garland movie. It was done in 1954. It goes about 4 hours. She had made a comeback at that point, Judy Garland, and there was a lot of singing, and it was a well-received movie. Number 6, and this is one of Ed's favorite, Mary Poppins, because he loves Julie Andrews. 1964, that was a Walt Disney. It was a pretty good one. Did you ever see it, Ed?
No. Nope.
You didn't?
No. Nope.
Wow. Number 5, Cabaret. You remember the movie Cabaret? 1972. Judy Garland's daughter, Liza Minnelli, starred in it. Number 4. I think this is your favorite, Ed. The Sound of Music with Julie Andrews in 1965. How many times did you see it? You said you had seen it about six or seven.
I think I had to see it once at gunpoint, and that was about it.
Did you really see it?
I just remember the hill there, and they're singing.
Yes.
I probably zoned out at 4 years old after that.
Okay. Number 3.
Scarred me for life.
Yes, I'm sure it did. Number 3 is The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, of course.
Everybody in the world has seen it on TV. 1939, Judy Garland again. Boy, Judy was involved in a lot of these, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, West Side Story. You ever see that one?
I didn't see it, but we did the play in high school.
Okay, so you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
Great, great musical. 1961, United Artists. In fact, I tell you what, I saw it like I was about 13 years old. I was so impressed because these guys that you look up to, they're the kind of tough guys dancing. And I'm going, wow, they can still look tough and dance. You know? Kind of interesting. All right, Ed. With your vast knowledge of musicals.
Mine's not going to be there because it's not really a musical because it there's no singing. It's just dancing and music.
Okay, good. But still.
So, Saturday Night Fever.
That's a good idea. That's a good one. Let's find out. It starts with an S, but it isn't Saturday Night Fever. It's Singing in the Rain. It was made in 1952. It was Gene Kelly and Donald O'Connor and Debbie Reynolds. And it was about the coming talking movies. The whole thing, the whole premise was the transition of these characters from the silence to the talkies.
I bet you enjoyed that. Not having
no,
to watch.
No, don't even start. The only time I ever saw it was on Turner Classic Television. All right. We're going to be joining a bunch of people at the Republican North Pinellas County headquarters tomorrow. Until then.
29162 US 19 North.
Okay. Remember this, freedom works.
Upside down. Boy, you turned me.